The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Simon's brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to Simon and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately Simon and Andrew left their nets and followed Jesus. As Jesus went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending nets. Immediately Jesus called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a joy to be with you this morning. Today we kind of start our church year in the Gospel of Mark. And the Gospel of Mark is about things happening right now, quickly. Jesus comes on scene, the word is preached, people are saved, things happen quickly. Today we see how some of Christ's followers, future apostles, come into the fold. We have Simon and Andrew. They're fishing. Christ comes immediately and says, "Come follow me, I'll make you fish for men." And boom, they say yes. They put down their stuff and they follow Jesus. What do we do with that? Imagine. You're at your place of employment tomorrow. You're at the co-op having coffee tomorrow. You're at the gas station tomorrow. Whatever normal daily task you're involved in, someone comes to you and says, "Follow me. Give up what you currently know. And together, we will save souls. We will preach the word," whatever language you want to put around it. How would you respond to that? Let's frame it in different terms. What would it take for you to change everything about your life right now? Would it take a better job offer in a different city? If the head office from Vancouver or Toronto called and said, "We're going to triple your salary, we need you out here in 2 weeks," would you say yes? Would you give up your friendships and your relationships? Would you give up your home? Would you make your children give up their schools because a better job opportunity came available? If you win a lottery, the 649 number hits, you're $32 million richer. Would you leave North Battleford, your home and your friends, your families, your past history, and move somewhere else? Would that make you give up everything? How about the promise of warmer weather? You've worked your 40 years, you've now hit 65 years old, we're leaving all this snow and cold behind us, and we're moving to Arizona or Florida permanently. Would tranquil, warm days make you give up everything you've known? For grandparents, would grandchildren make you give up everything you currently know? Sell your house, leave your circle of friends, and go to some foreign place, a Calgary, a Winnipeg, a Regina, whatever it may be, so you can be closer to grandkids. Would grandkids make you give up everything you know? It takes something pretty substantial to give up the safety and security of that which we know. Even if we're not totally pleased with our current position in life, current paycheck, current household, the current school our children may go to, our current neighborhood, whatever it is, it does offer us a source of security. We kind of know what to expect. We kind of know the world around us. We kind of know what tomorrow will look like. We know what restaurants are good and what restaurants we should stay away from. We know what people we like and people we should stay away from. And in that, we have a sense of security. We know the world around us. Even if we don't always like it, we know it. But the unknown is very scary. And so it usually takes quite a bit to make us leave the comfort of that which we know. Simon and Andrew have no problem. Christ comes and says, "Hey, I'll make you fishers of men. Okay, let's go do it." And I'm not sure how to respond to that. I guess I should say today, you need to give up everything you have. Totally commit yourself to God. Leave your former way of being, etc., etc. those words really reflect upon your life? Probably not. If we're going to look at Bible stories today, then we do best to look at Jonah in the Bible. This is a prophet that I can fully understand. Simon and Andrew, I have a hard time getting my head around it. But Jonah, here's a guy. Jonah is minding his own business. He's like you. He's just trying to make his way in the world. We're told he's a faithful person of God, but we're not given any special instruction. Jonah's not a high priest. He's not supremely educated. He's not from a great family of prophets. He's just a faithful guy going about his life. And the word of God comes to Jonah, and the word of God says, you know what? I need you to go across and talk to those people in Nineveh, because the way that they're living means destruction is going to come. There's too much drinking and too much prostitution. The rich are getting too rich and the poor are being abused, etc., etc. And God says this will all equal their destruction. And now Jonah, being a good Hebrew, a good Jew, he has a great dislike of the people of Nineveh. They're Persians. They've been invading Israel and Judah for hundreds of years. They've been ransacking their villages. They've been taking their women into slavery. They've been killing their livestock, slaughtering innocents. This is a blood feud. And so Jonah says to God, look, God, I'm not sure if you've been paying attention, but those people are no good across the lake. God says, look, Jonah, just go to them, tell them it's time to repent. They can still save themselves. And so Jonah says to himself, we're told this in his book. Jonah says to himself, you know what? There's a problem here, Jonah. I know God. And I know God is a God of justice. But I also know that God is a God of love. That God abounds with compassion. And so if those Ninevites actually do hear what I say and they repent, you know what? God's going to save them. And God's going to spare them. And I don't want them saved and I don't want them spared. I want fire to fall upon them. I want brimstone upon them. I want the land salted. I want the ashes buried. I want Nineveh to be a speck of nothingness on the map. So we know the story. Instead of crossing this way to Nineveh, Jonah gets in a boat and hits the Tarshish. He figures he'll just run away from the call of God. Big waves come up. The weather gets bad. The sailors figure out this Hebrew is running away from God. They throw him in the water. A big fish, or as the story goes, a whale eats him. Eventually, Jonah repents. He ends up in Nineveh. He walks in the streets and says, the day of the Lord is upon you. It's time to change your ways. The whole city, a huge city, takes 3 days, takes a long time to walk across it. I had 3 days in my head. You would have quickly caught me there. It's a big city. I can just make up numbers. Numbers 993,000 people. I don't know that. Huge city. We're told they all put the sackcloth on them, you know. It's very uncomfortable. It reminds them that they're in a time of repentance, even the children. And what does God do? God forgives them. And that is the story of Jonah. That's a prophet I get. He's unwilling. He doesn't want to change his ways. He wants to hold his old grudges. He likes the comfort of what he knows. He likes being a Hebrew and he likes hating the Ninevites. He doesn't want God to mess with that. Today's readings. Jonah. Jonah walks through and says, the time to repent is now. St. Paul saying, the day of the Lord is coming soon. The word of Christ saying to these new followers, come and follow me, all has to do with time, with the immediacy of God's presence in our lives. Time is an amazing thing. As humans, we all share in time. Right now, for all of us, it is 11:01 a.m. We share that. We also share space and time. At 11:01 a.m., all of us are at 10801 Winter Crescent in North Battleford, Saskatchewan. We share that. But yet for all of us, time is something unique. Each of us lives in a unique time. My time and your time is different. The time that you are experiencing is different than the time that the person sitting beside you is experiencing. What time is it in the journey of your life? Do you feel that you're young, that you're middle-aged, that you're elderly? What time is it in the journey of your health? Do you feel healthy and well? Are you concerned about health problems? Are you living under a bad diagnosis? different times. What time is it for you financially? Are you flush and satisfied? Are you scraping and worried? See, in one way, time is the great equalizer. We all share in time. Sun up, sun down, a day, a new day comes. We share that. It hits us equally, rich and poor. But how we live in time is extremely different. How we experience time is different. If we're waiting for a phone call from the Alan Blair Cancer Clinic, time will stand still. We will dread time. What will the results of those tests be? If we're waiting to see our brand new born grandchild, we are excited by time. I will see my new grandchild in one day, in 1 week, in 1 month. If we're waiting for a vacation, time is an enjoyment. Let's go. I can't wait. We start planning and visualizing and hoping and wondering. If the bank account is empty and tax time comes, we know how that feels. If you're getting a refund, great. If you owe Canada Revenue, boo. We experience time differently. But it isn't time. Time measured in days and minutes and hours and years. Time measured in experience, in a life lived, in close calls and in joys and in marriages and in funerals. In time, God calls us. God calls Simon and Andrew, and he calls them at just the right time. They are ready to say yes to this mysterious person that says, come, I'll make you fishers of men. Jonah comes to the people of Nineveh, and he comes at just the right time. We don't know the background story, but they're ready to get on board with Yahweh's plan. Maybe they've realized the suffrage of their people. Maybe they've realized the inequality of their world. Maybe they've realized the path they're on will only lead to destruction. We don't know, but whatever it is, the time is right. There's a word in the Bible for us. It's called kairos. It's the fulfillment of time. It means things are perfect for God's action to be done. Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. It was a kairos moment. That was the right time for Christ to be born. We all live with time. We hear the clock ticking. We keep appointments. We see days on calendars. We recognize dates. But we also live a shared time. The time of human existence. A time that sees times of great happiness. The birth of children, marriages, celebrations, retirements, whatever it may be. And a time that experiences sorrows. The sorrows of death. Dreams that are unfulfilled. Relationships that crumble, whatever it may be. We also live in that time. And in the moments of that time, God calls us. Just like Simon and Andrew, God calls us and says, come and follow me. I will show you a new way of being. But you need to let go of that which you're holding on to. You need to move from this moment in time. We can simply not live in the high mountain peaks of time. Times of joy. Every married couple who stands on this altar says their vows to one another with parents looking at each other so proud and happy, gathered with friends and family. It is a great wedding day, but guess what? After that great wedding day, after the gifts are open, the mixed masters put away, they need to live their marriage. They need to live forgiveness and support. And in that time, they are called by God. Come and follow me. Now you as a couple. Will you have children? Will you move? Will you go back to school? Will you take a new job? Through all these things, God's fullness is more being revealed. What time do we find ourselves in? If we recognize what time we're in our lives, is this a time of sickness? A time of despair, a time of doubt, a time of sorrow, a time of mourning. Ask, how is God calling me and showing me something new? New relationships, new opportunities, new ways of being, new ways to experience forgiveness, whatever it may be. Christ shows up and says, come and follow me. Let's pull you through this. Let's get to somewhere new. Time is something that we can enjoy. Time is something that God has created. It is man who put a clock on a wall. It is man that makes the second hand tick. It is man that decides to divide months into 28 or 31 days. The time that God has given us is not simply a countdown to some final moment of death, a time to be born and a time to die, as we hear in Ecclesiastes. God has given us the time in the middle. God has given us a time to celebrate, a time to rejoice, a time to experience children, a time to experience marriage, a time to experience the world, whatever ways in which God has fulfilled our time, and it can be in numerous and varied ways for all of us. It is in this time that God works. For those two young men who were simply fishing, that was their time. They were simply toiling during life's task. Another day fishing on the same seashore, using the same nets, catching the same fish, and getting the same results. And boom, Christ changed their lives. As we toil, as we live, as we work, Christ changes our lives. But if they said no, we're happy. We know what our lives look like. They're secure. They're comfortable. They're uneventful. We probably wouldn't hear about them. I'm sure there's many of them the Bible doesn't record. We see in Christ's later ministry, Christ approaches people. Christ heals people. Christ feeds people. Christ teaches people. And not many are changed. They go back to their old way of being. Because being comfortable can be a great sin. Because to be comfortable means we are content, whether we want to admit it or not. And God calls us not just to be content, but God calls us to strive. Strive for more love. Strive for more forgiveness. Strive for more relationships. Strive for more justice and more goodness and more stewardship, more knowledge, more prayer, whatever it may be. Keep growing, because that's life in the Spirit, growing. New understandings, new opportunities, new challenges. But if we're content, if we are full, if we are satisfied, then we're not looking to grow. We're not looking to challenge ourselves. We're not looking to stretch ourselves. We're just looking to maintain. Is that our calling? To simply maintain our existence. To simply maintain our lives. To simply maintain our security, to maintain our bank accounts, to maintain our relationships. Because that's a position of weakness. If you're just working to maintain, then you're always losing. You're losing opportunities. Opportunities for new experiences, new friendships, new rewards, new adventures, new challenges, and new ways of seeing God at work in the world. Come and follow me, Jesus says. But to answer that question, we need to be willing to change. Amen.